3:03, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Tuesday. Yes, it is hot. The rain is moving in tomorrow. That's going to be related to that Debbie, Hurricane Debbie, Tropical Storm Debbie. We got, looks of it, probably 3 or 4 days dealing with that. Lots of rain and lots of wind. There's no question about this, Tim Walz. Make no mistake, this is the equivalent of the Democrat Party in 2024 hanging out a sign that says, Jews need not apply. That's what we are seeing. You know, we used to say there was this Hamas wing of the Democrats. Seems more now like the Democrats are a wing of Hamas. I heard that earlier today, and at first I shook my head, and then I thought, no, you know what? We could do some of the math, and I do want to remind you, since we're talking about numbers, the Chronic Care of Richmond text line is available to you now. In fact, it's always available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Here's what I see, and if you see it in any other way, by all means, you tell me, but if I'm Kamala Harris, and I want to win the White House, I pick someone who can deliver electoral college votes, right? Remember now, that's how you win the White House, 270. It's not about how many millions of votes you get out there in that popular election. It's about how many electoral votes you get, and the magic number is 270. You take a look around the United States, and certain states are considered to be just sort of locked up, right? California is going to go blue. It's going to go for the Democrats. So if you're the Democrat, you don't have to spend a lot of time out there or a lot of money. And if you're a Republican, in all likelihood, you choose not to spend a lot of time or money out there. How about South Carolina? Well, South Carolina has some pockets of Democrats, but it is an overwhelmingly red state. It is overwhelmingly Republican. So, if you are a Republican, you know that's in your column already. You're not going to spend a lot of money or time in South Carolina. And if you're a Democrat, you will choose not to spend a lot of time or money in South Carolina. So there are a handful of states that are toss-up states, right? Arizona, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Michigan. Those five come immediately to mind. Now let's run down the list for a second. The governor of Michigan, Whitmer, took herself out of contention for the vice presidential race, the Veep stakes, right? So she's gone. She said out loud publicly where everybody could see her and hear her, said, oh, not interested in being vice president. So she's out. You have North Carolina, Roy Cooper is the governor there. Roy Cooper took himself out of contention, said, oh, nope, I'm not interested in running for vice president with Kamala Harris. Take North Carolina out of the mix. So let me see now. You've got Pennsylvania. You've got Arizona. Didn't I have another one? Was there another state up for grabs? Well, it could have been Ohio, but nah, that's all right. So let's just deal with these two for a second. Pennsylvania and Arizona. So Arizona, you have this guy, Mark Kelly. Mark Kelly is a hardcore leftist, make no mistake about it, but he's been able to position himself as a centrist. And Arizona's up for grabs, and Arizona's electoral college votes are up for grabs. Well, if you want to win, wouldn't you think seriously about that guy? You would. Well, then there's Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvania has 18 electoral college votes. 18. And it's considered a swing state. Oh, and the the governor of Pennsylvania is actually very popular. So there's a real good possibility he could help you get those 18 electoral college votes. That seems like a good thing, right? So let's just, again, let's just analyze a little bit. We're kind of down now to just a couple of places that are going to help you if you really are interested in becoming president, right? So Arizona, it's up for grabs. It could go blue. It could go red. It has 11 electoral votes. Well, that's not bad. But you don't really have anybody who's super popular. Mark Kelly is the guy you would pick, but he's not all that popular. I mean, he's been popular enough to get elected. There is some question about it, whether he's going to be reelected. So you may or may not want to tie your presidential balloon to his basket. All right, well, let's take him off the table then. So we're left with Josh Shapiro, right? The governor of Pennsylvania. 18 electoral votes, an extremely popular governor, and a solid Democrat. Why do you not pick him? Why instead do you go to Tim Walz? Tim Walz he's a far left-winger's left-winger. He describes socialism as just being neighborly. He's got a few problems as well. He's got an old DUI conviction. Pretty serious, too. He was convicted of doing 99 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. Oh, and then there's the whole stolen valor thing, because there's a whole slew of Minnesota National Guard members who are calling him out as a liar on his rank and his service. So that's an issue. Oh, and Minnesota only has 10 electoral votes. Only 10 electoral college votes. Oh, and here's the other thing. You're going to win Minnesota. Right? Minnesota's not in any danger of going red, is it? Donald Trump's not in any danger of winning Minnesota. Minnesota is solidly Democrat. So if you're Kamala Harris and you've got this flawed candidate, again, stolen valor, old DUI conviction, a far left wing wackadoodle. Now, of course, you identify with that because you yourself are a far left wing wackadoodle. But nonetheless, I mean, I thought you wanted to bring more people in so that you could flip things and you could win the Electoral College, right? Because you want to be president. In theory, that's what you're telling us. There's a lot of this doesn't make sense. Oh, well, let me tell you something else about Tim Walz. Tim Walz hates the cops. Now, in that matter, he's right in line with Kamala Harris, so no problem there. But his wife is, well, what's the Democrats' favorite word now? Weird. His wife, Mrs. Walz, talked about how great it was while the city of Minneapolis was burning. You remember those mostly peaceful protests? Antifa, BLM, you know, the assorted criminal element, the thugs. She talked about how great it was to open the windows in the Minnesota governor's mansion so that she could smell the tires burning. Oh, call me crazy. I think that's a little weird. But let's get back to the math. And you know, I'm not a numbers guy, right? How many times have I told you that? I'm not a numbers guy. I'm not big on numbers. I have difficulty with numbers. But even I can understand the possibility of getting 18 votes as opposed to 10 that you already have. Boy, that seems like it might be worth exploring if you wanted to run for president. Here's what I know. And I say this as a Jewish guy who's lived here on planet Earth for 5 decades plus. This was all about Josh Shapiro being Jewish. This was all about Josh Shapiro when he was 20 years old in college, speaking strongly in favor of Israel. First, they made him come out and apologize for that and turn his back on that. But that was not enough. That's not enough for the Hamas wing of the Democrats because they now control the Democrat Party. And you are not going to stand in any way, shape, or form with Israel. And frankly, we don't want you because you are Jewish. That's the message I take from this. I don't think you can read it any other way. I think it's ugly. I would ask you to go back in time. Remember Al Gore? Right, I didn't agree with Al Gore on any issues. But Al Gore picked Joe Lieberman to be his running mate. Remember that? Joe Lieberman, the senator from Connecticut. And Lieberman said to him, look, I'm honored and I'd be happy to run with you, but you know I'm not available Friday evenings or Saturday before sunset because I'm an Orthodox Jew. And Al Gore said, yeah, that's okay. That's fine. I didn't vote for the Gore-Lieberman ticket, but I did take some degree of comfort in thinking, wow, one of the two major parties has nominated a Jewish guy for one of the highest offices in the land. Fast forward a few decades, and here we are right now, as the Democrats in 2024 have said to the Jews, stay away. We don't want any part of you. This is so ugly. So unbelievably ugly. All right, we are going to talk a little bit more about that as we head through today's little adventure here. We've got the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, Joe Moreno, who's going to join us at 3:33. It appears as if former President Trump is going to be sentenced up in New York. They're going to go ahead with this. And I don't know. I just don't know which way it's going to go or how it's going to go. But obviously, Joe Moreno will have the insight on that. Really, nobody better when it comes to legal analysis than Joe Moreno. I think he's absolutely the best of the best. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., my friend John Reed is going to be here. I know John's going to be exploring this more about Tim Walz. We'll also be getting some updates, a little more insight on who Walz is. And folks have reached out to me and said, Jeff, are you still going to Israel? Well, as of last night, I guess around 10:30 in the evening, yes, I am still going to Israel. It's supposed to be 12 days from now. Going on this mission trip. And the airlines, if you've noticed, if you follow the news, are canceling a number of flights to Israel. As it stands right now, my flight is still on. So if it remains in that situation, then yes, I fully intend to go to Israel in 12 days. I'd like to offer all of the help that I can. And I'd like to share as many of these stories as I can because, well, given what Kamala Harris has just done, it's a weird, dangerous time right now for Jews. It really is. It's a very, very bad time. And somebody has got to stand up and do some speaking. And apparently that's going to be me. But that is if the flight goes the way it's supposed to go. Again, in 12 days, we are supposed to... supposed to depart. And again, that was as it was last night. I am checking and checking and rechecking. I know some people have had their flights canceled, but I'll keep you in the loop. I promise you. By the way, the economic indices, I'm looking at the numbers here. Now, they're in the green as we speak. There was a big sell-off yesterday. You know that. I know that. 1,000 points plus for the Dow. The Nikkei is the one that really kind of rocked everybody because they shed about 12% of their value. And we'll see which way this goes. I don't think there's any growing confidence now that Kamala Harris can do any better in another 4 years than she's done in the last 4 years. Oh, the Fed. I do have to tell you this. Wells Fargo has their analysts out front, and they are claiming that the Fed, during a meeting in September and a meeting in November, will cut the interest rate by 50 basis points each time. That's half a percentage point. So that would be a total of 1% cut, if in fact that comes to pass. All right. Chronic Care of Richmond text line, certainly available to you, 833-804-1140. Jeremy, 520 this afternoon, let us give away the four-pack of tickets for the big NASCAR race coming to Richmond Raceway Complex on August the 11th. It is 316, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 323, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Who exactly is Tim Walz? And why did Kamala Harris pick him? Well, you can take this one to the bank. I'm telling you flat out, sure as I'm sitting here. Number one on the list. She did not want to run with a Jewish guy on her ticket. I wish that weren't true. You have no idea how much I wish that were not true. But that is absolutely the case. Now what are we going to do? 804, Robert says, Jeff, socialism is just a phase that Tim Walz is going through. Yeah, well, he's been going through that phase for, I don't know, about 50 years. He is a hardcore socialist. I don't mean one of these, well, I think the government can do better in some areas. I mean a hardcore socialist. He is a radical. And he's not Jewish. So for Kamala Harris, that's a good combination. When is she going to speak to the public, do you think? When is she going to have anything to say to the media? What is it now, 16 days since she was coronated? Right? She's never received a single vote in a primary or caucus, but she's now the Democrats' nominee for president. Isn't that amazing? And she won't speak. Why? Because every time she opens her mouth, you and I think we're going to need a bigger bowl for this word salad. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Is this judge in New York really going to send Donald Trump to jail? We'll find out with Joe Moreno, smartest lawyer on God's green earth, at 3:33. It is 3:26. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:34, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Now, I know that it is sunny and it's hot. Not as hot as it's been, though. This is the proverbial calm before the storm. We are about to see, starting tomorrow for sure, probably 3 or 4 days, coming from what is now Tropical Storm Debbie. I just got a note from our governor, Glenn Youngkin. He has declared a state of emergency throughout our entire Commonwealth. So this is going to be real. Heavy rains and some strong winds, and you'll need to stay close to News Radio WRVA to make sure you're on top of all of it. Big news politically is this Tim Walz character is chosen by Kamala Harris. I'll tell you again why I believe he was chosen, because he's not Jewish. It makes no sense if you're looking at the Electoral College. It doesn't make any sense, except if you're Kamala Harris, you have thrown in your lot with the Hamas wing, the furthest left-wing crazy people. And so everybody knows now. I don't know how you're going to vote, but you should have all the information in front of you. Can former President Donald Trump win if he is sitting in a prison cell? I heard this news the other day. I thought I had misheard it, to tell you the truth. I heard a news report that said the sentencing for former President Trump on these insane charges up in New York is actually moving forward. So it's a big legal issue. Our good friend Joe Moreno, smartest lawyer on God's green earth, you know, joins us on a regular basis every other Tuesday. And we press him into service anytime we need him, that's for sure. But luckily, Joe is with us today, can help to explain this. Joe, thank you for being here, my friend.
Jeff, you're far too kind, but it's always wonderful to join you.
Oh, that is, it's nice to hear. Now, listen. I thought that I misheard this. I was sure that I had misheard this, that this whole kangaroo court sham trial thing up in New York, it was going to go away. But this judge is actually going to impose sentence on Donald Trump.
Well, Jeff, I left New York to move to Northern Virginia about 15 years ago. But I still, I am just appalled at what my original home state, what they do with their legal system between the Letitia James civil case against the Trump Organization and between the Alvin Bragg criminal case against Donald Trump. And then, frankly, the giddiness that New York City Mayor Eric Adams said a few months ago when he said, I've got a block of Rikers Island just waiting for Donald Trump. I mean, it's so apparent, it's so clear that the legal system is being used as a political weapon. It makes me cringe. So to answer your question, I fully expect Judge Juan Merchan in New York City will do everything he can to humiliate Donald Trump, to keep him off the campaign trail. And yes, that very well may include a prison term.
We've heard the phrase lawfare, and I don't know who invented it, but that, as a layman, as a non-attorney, boy, that would strike me as pretty close to the truth on all of this.
It's using highly creative prosecution theories to construct cases that would never be brought against anyone else, but yet are brought against a political opponent to maximize political damage. I mean, you have the Letitia James case. It was a fraud case, and there was no fraud victim. Nice. Unheard of. I mean, the Alvin Bragg case, which alleged, I mean, if you kind of wade through it all, mm-hmm. I guess it was an election interference case, kind of, but it all came down to a non-disclosure agreement between Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels, and those are perfectly legal. And yet somehow Alvin Bragg turned it into a crime, and Judge Merchan rubber stamped it. Wow. So, you know, again, there's a number of cases against Donald Trump, and look, some of them have a little credibility, although they kind of scream of hypocrisy. Yeah. But most of them are just absolute nonsense. I mean, the one in Fulton County is falling apart, and the Jack Smith cases have serious problems. The one in Florida has been dismissed, and the one here in Washington, D.C. is probably mostly blocked now because of the Supreme Court ruling on immunity. So, you know, again, I feel like these cases, they were constructed very craftily.
Yeah,
they were sat on for years. They were indicted one after the other in 2023 with the express purpose that I think they expected Donald Trump would be sitting in court all year this year with one case after another, humiliated on television and not able to get out and campaign.
All right, let me ask you to talk about that Jack Smith stuff for a second, because you point out there are two cases, and you're saying the one in Florida is gone, and the one in D.C. is what, just like in a holding pattern?
So the one in Florida has been dismissed by Judge Cannon,
right?
Based on the ruling that Jack Smith was never appropriately appointed in the first place.
Okay.
That the whole idea of a special counsel is sort of a made-up concept that either has to be created by statute, which we haven't had since the independent counsel law expired back in 99, or it has to be a Senate, a presidential appointed and Senate confirmed position, like a district U.S. attorney, the 92 that are out there. Jack Smith is neither. He was sort of appointed in this position by the Attorney General under a Justice Department regulation, which does not have the power of law. So anyway, he's not properly appointed, and so he can appeal it. He's probably going to lose. Mm. So there's that. They're spinning his wheels there. Then in the D.C. case, remember, before a week prior to the U.S. v. Trump case on immunity, there was another Supreme Court case about the use of the obstruction law, because the primary charge against Donald Trump here in Washington is obstruction of Congress. Mm-hmm. And what the Supreme Court held is what that means is obstructing a congressional investigation, like tampering with evidence. It does not mean some broad concept of taking steps to prevent a congressional, I don't know, action, I guess the counting of the electoral vote. So basically, the Supreme Court threw it out.
Right.
So the courts now still has, it threw out the obstruction part of it, and the immunity part still has to apply. So now Judge Chutkan here in Washington has to figure out what she thinks Donald Trump can and can't be charged with. And guess what? If she goes the way of the prosecution, Donald Trump can appeal it. Wow. So now you have another case that's subject to appeal. So they really are going nowhere fast at this point. And they've really, you know, properly, the Supreme Court has stepped in and really kind of stopped this nonsense, because both these cases were really, really wobbly to begin with. And when you bring charges against a former president, the case should be rock solid, or else don't bring it.
Now, wasn't Jack Smith, though, the prosecutor in the D.C. case as well? And if he was, then doesn't Judge Chutkan have to listen to Judge Cannon, who said he wasn't appointed correctly in the first place?
So great point, right? Well, Judge Cannon, they're both district court judges.
Okay.
Judge Cannon resides in the 11th Circuit, which covers Florida and other parts of the Southeast.
Okay.
Judge Chutkan sits in Washington, D.C., which falls under the D.C. Circuit.
Okay.
So each circuit can have different rulings. And if you have a circuit split, the Supreme Court can step in and decide it. So Judge Cannon's ruling in Florida, I would say, has some support for the argument here in Washington, but Judge Chutkan does not have to respect it. So my guess is she won't. My guess is she will leave Jack Smith in place. And then you have a split. And so my guess very much is the Supreme Court at some point would take the case.
Okay.
And we know how at least one justice is going to rule, because Clarence Thomas has already said, basically, I don't think Jack Smith was appointed properly.
Yep.
So it's a pretty good guess that if it goes all the way to the Supreme Court, they're going to find in favor of Donald Trump. So, again, you know, I think, again, what's so frustrating is that if you do this sort of thing, you take an action, you use the legal system, which is supposed to be taken really seriously, and you launch an attack on a politician knowing it's going to be divisive to the country, you make sure your case is solid.
Yeah.
And when you just haphazardly use these theories and, you know, kind of just haul someone in to charge them and create headlines, I think goes back to your question about what is lawfare. Mm-hmm. That's lawfare. That's it's misusing the legal system to attack opponents.
Joe Moreno is joining us. Joe, of course, a former federal prosecutor, just an absolutely brilliant, brilliant guy. I always love getting his insight. So, Joe, jump back to New York for just a second. Judge Merchan is, in fact, going to impose some sort of a sentence. What are the options? And honest to goodness, like an over-under thing, do you really think that he's going to send Donald Trump to Rikers Island?
Well, let's start with the lighter sentences. It could be a fine. It could be probation, where basically it's, you know, don't do it again, and I'm watching you for a year or two, you know, and you know, that kind of thing. It could be something more extreme, like having to meet regularly with a probation officer, where you have to stay local. It could be an ankle bracelet. It could be house arrest. It could be limitation of to the borders of the state. You can't leave New York City or New York State. And then you get into it. Theoretically, could be a jail sentence. Now it really shouldn't. I mean, this is a nonviolent crime, first time offender. They call it a Class E felony, so it's the most least serious type of felony in New York State.
Right.
So it really should not be any kind of jail sentence, but he could.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. I think there's a chance he will.
Yep.
Now, Donald Trump will immediately appeal it, and the appeals court should immediately grant a stay of any jail sentence.
Yep.
So he should not spend even a night in Rikers.
Mm-hmm.
But my guess is between Alvin Bragg and Judge Merchan, they're going to do their best to really throw the book at him and really try to make the most of this, because it's kind of their last chance, right? Last chance they have to use their lawfare campaign before November's election.
Wow. It's outrageous. Joe, everybody, of course, tunes in when you are here with us, but I want them to be checking out the stuff you're doing when we're not chatting with you. You're doing stuff with The Spectator, lots of stuff on social media. So give everybody those handles and addresses, would you?
Sure. It's Joseph Moreno on X. It's josephmoreno.com. And I have a regular contributor role now on The Spectator, which is a fantastic periodical. So I recommend, and I say to the audience all the time, I mean, look, there's a lot of commentary out there. There's a lot of opinions. But be careful of people who claim to be objective and yet are pushing propaganda.
Yep.
It's becoming more and more common, and particularly among us lawyers, people who say they're legal experts, but they're pushing, you know, they're pushing a point of view that's not necessarily legally accurate. So I say, listen to the facts, listen to the arguments, but make your own objective decisions.
I love it. Joe Moreno, I thank you for being here, my friend. One of the best. I'm always so thrilled to chat with Joe Moreno. And again, check him out, Joseph Moreno on X. JosephMoreno.com is the website. And check him out at The Spectator, now a regular contributor over there. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:50, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon, and it is sunny, and it is warm, and that is going to change. Starting tomorrow, we have got some pretty serious rain. This is going to involve the remnants of this tropical storm Debbie. And as I'm looking ahead here, we're talking about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I think into Saturday. It's a very, very slow-moving storm. You've seen what it's done in Florida. Gosh, Sarasota picking up 12, 13 inches of rain. It seemed to hit the west side a little bit more than the east side, the east coast. So anyway, just bear that in mind. We'll keep on top of that, of course, and let you know exactly what's happening. I do want to give you a heads up. I'm not going to be here on Friday. I don't want you to get nervous. Nothing bad, but I got to get one of those back things done every so often, every couple of months. Well, twice a year for sure. I have to get this thing done to my back so that I can, you know, be out there and function. And it is a lifetime sentence. It's a weird thing, but it's the truth. You know, a couple of years back, fell at the radio factory, and now on that list of people who are, quote, permanently partially disabled. Never, ever, ever thought I would be on that list. Never, ever, ever wanted to be on that list, but I am on that list. And as the one orthopedic guy said, yeah, this is it's for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, you are going to see me twice a year for sure for these procedures. They call them ablations, where they essentially go in and burn the nerves, because nerves apparently have a really long memory. And even though the injury is not occurring at this very time, the nerves are like, yeah, we remember. We're just like Pepperidge Farm. Not gonna let that one go. So every so often they got to go in there and burn those guys. Now, the other bad thing, or good thing, depending on the way you look at it, nerves grow back, which is why it's not a one-time thing. But anyway, I just want to give you the heads up. This Friday, I am not going to be here. Pre-planned. It's all, you know, long on the books. And next Tuesday as well. Next Tuesday is going to be an interesting one. Next Tuesday is actually my economic discussion. Yeah, Carl Carlson and I will be in very, very intense discussions on Tuesday to figure out what's going on, why it's going on, how do we deal with it, right? We're all doing that right now. Mine, thankfully, was pre-scheduled. It was always going to be on Tuesday. And now, unfortunately, it's considerably more important. I don't think this is the end of the world, but I do think it is the world saying, you know, if you people in America really do vote for that nitwit and that nitwit, we don't have any confidence whatsoever in your economy making the turn and getting back on track. We don't. This is the most extreme Democrat Party ticket in history, and that's saying something. And I'll tell you what, coming up just a couple of moments from now, we got one of the folks from the RNC, the Republican National Committee, is going to be with us, who's really going to lay it out there. Who is this Tim Walz? What does he believe in? What has he done? And why would anybody in their right minds think that he should be a heartbeat away from the presidency? Tommy Pigott is going to be with us. He's a good guy. I think we've had him before. He's one of the spokespeople there at the RNC. You know, they do this. They each have different candidates. They each have different officials, and they know everything about those folks, and they get thrown into the mix when that person gets tapped. So Tommy Pigott was the Tim Walz guy, and so he'll be with us in a couple of moments. Greg Peterson will be here at 4:33 because it is Tuesday, and I've got a family four-pack of tickets for NASCAR. You know, the big race is coming on August the 11th, the Cookout 400. We will give you a chance to win those tickets at 5:20-ish. Make it easy. All you have to do is give us a call and you'll win the tickets. Remember, the Chronic Care of Richmond text line is always available to you, 833-804-1140. Please make sure that you are with me on social media, particularly if I am going to get to Israel. I'm supposed to leave in 12 days. At the moment, it's still on, but you'll want to follow me on social media. That's where I'll be doing this stuff. Follow Jeff Katz Show on X, Jeff Katz Show on X, The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., my buddy John Reed will be here. Please join me in listening to John. It is 3:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.